Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
No problem whatsoever.
See, that's a good point, too, because, it's not me trying to reach for something here, but him not immediately, whenever that word came to him, going to the Lord for advice, He just responded off of what was said to him.
Yep. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. So he's even more exhausted. He's traveling, running, and he requested for himself that he might die. What's in control there, Jonathan?
Right. That's 100% the body.
Yes.
Talking.
Yes. You know, absolutely not.
Checking out.
I've been there.
Yep.
There is nothing left for me to do in this life. You know what? If it ends tomorrow, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's the part of the movie where it's, go on, leave me. I'll just slow you down.
Yes. That's exactly right. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Just kill me, God.
Yeah.
I was your man a couple days ago, but I'm tired now, and I'm done.
Literally just witnessed one of the most amazing things that happened in Earth in how many years?
Yes. And that's a reoccurring theme throughout the book here. It all has to do with physical exhaustion and the battle between the flesh and the spirit that takes place within you all the time. Don't tell me you're spirit man is in control of your flesh 100% of the time, because I know your name is not Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yes. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Okay. He has some spiritual intervention there. Why'd the angel have to touch him?
Right.
Because he was exhausted. And he looked and beheld there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. Angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So he's getting spiritual and physical nourishment now. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights under Horeb to the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what dost thou here? Why are you here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the last one of God here. There's no one else. Although there are. Mm-hmm. He's feeling pity for himself, loneliness, pity. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Okay, the first time he said that, God gave him a vision of God having complete control of all of the elements in the world. And he asks him the same question again. And he says the same thing. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat, and of Abimaholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So he's He's given him all sorts of things here. Do go anoint this king, that king, and also anoint a prophet to take over your jurisdiction. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth of the sword of Jushel, Elijah shall slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Wow. But God is letting him know the answer to what he had said. Yes, there are some left.
Right.
You're not alone.
Right.
There are 7,000, which is an extremely low number, Jonathan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What are we talking about? 4 or 5 million people
easily
now.
Easily. Yeah. Beyond a remnant, or beyond just a...
Yes. Down to 7,000. The power of Satan under the law. You know, the Holy Spirit is not an indwelling spirit here now. The only saving grace beyond the law Jesus Christ gave is the Holy Spirit to keep you, because the law requires you to keep yourself. Christ came to restore the original covenant of follow me with all your heart. You know, he says, follow me and be baptized. Then he sent the Holy Spirit. Once you do that, once your heart did follow after God, there was a strengthener put there. And we see that time and time again, where the strengthener would come and strengthen the hearts of these people momentarily and for certain things. But it wasn't a constant thing that the Christian has available now. Okay, so he departed thence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him.
Can you imagine the size of that rig they had for 12
oxen? I was just thinking that.
Like,
it's like one of them mule trains that carried borax.
Yeah.
I mean, what size was the plow that he was
seriously
pulling? Like a four-blade bottom-turning plow?
Yeah, that just gives me a whole question about, like, his stature. And
Yes. So his replacement, Elisha, with a S-H-A, and Elijah with a J-A-H. So Elisha is going to replace him. So he cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. A lot of money he left standing in the field there. Didn't care whatsoever. Spirit of God came upon him when the mantle touched him and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him. He took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Interesting that Elisha asks, let me go back and kiss my mother and father. And he says, okay, no problem. He went back and sacrificed and I guess kissed his mother and father and followed Elijah. There were several that said that to Jesus. Let me go back and kiss my father.
Exactly what I was writing down.
Yeah. Yep. He says, you missed the boat.
Yep.
Sorry.
And there's another reference in here too, right there. All right. Where Jesus says that at any time, whenever you had your hands on the plow, whenever you take your hands off the plow.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's literally talking about him being in the field with his hands on the plow.
Yep.
He got the calling and immediately let go.
Yep.
And just.
He did.
Yep.
Yeah. Chapter 20, 1 Kings. Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. Yes. Chapter 20. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest are thine. Everything you have belongs to me, buddy.
Yeah.
And the king of Israel answered and said, O Lord, my king, O Lord, O king, according to thy sayings, I am thine and all that I have. That is so sad.
Yes, a king.
The king of Israel, who God had given the entire nation and region, including Syria, Samaria, now is under the king of Samaria.
And not trying to bunny trail this, but he's come in his own name.
Yes.
He says, thus saith the king of Benadad, or King Benadad.
Oh, yeah.
He's come in his own name.
Top dog in the neighborhood now. And the Israelites answer to foreign kings.
Yes.
All because they took their eyes off God. Yeah. You want to be head of your household, Christian? Keep your eyes on God. Otherwise, you'll be a servant to everything around you. Your job, your finance company, bullies at work. And the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children. Man, I just couldn't do that.
I'm saying it.
I would rather die.
Yeah.
I don't care about the gold and the silver.
Yeah, the kids and the wives.
Yeah. Yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the house of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Are we having an open house at your house tomorrow, King of Israel? They call it a yard sale. Very cheap. Everything's very cheap. And I'm the only buyer. And the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray ye, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives, and for my children, and for my silver, and for my gold, and I denied him not. I said, okay. I was afraid.
Yeah.
And all the elders of Israel and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Don't do it. Don't do it, king. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. Okay, so he's listened to counsel of the elders and says, no, this first stuff you asked for, I'm all right with that, but the wives and the children, no, not happening. Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. All right, buddy. I told you to do it. You had better do it. If not, it's going to be great tribulation. King of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on the harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. So he's in the pub after work, had a few. They come in and tell him, all right, the king of Israel says, no, he can't have his wives and children.
That's a no-go.
Call the army. We got an army, right? Yeah, call the army. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So after the slaughter of the prophets of Baal, they had a momentary glimpse of God and said, oh, this is God. But they pretty much gone back to business as usual now. You ever done that, Christian, or anyone who's listening? You went into a church, or you encountered somebody on the street that gave you such a good word of God that it came into your heart for just a moment, and then you fell back into the routines of daily life. Well, that happens over and over again. It's happening right now. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou. So he's getting word from the prophet here that God is actually going to deliver this large army into his hand. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. That's not many. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. That's not many for an army either. And they went out at noon, and Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk.
Oh, yeah.
In the pavilions. Yeah. So, the drunken king, Ben-Hadad, and he's the one throwing his army around right now. He's was, hey, yeah, he probably all drunk up when he says, hey, that king of Israel's got some beautiful wife, man. Go down there and get them all. Say, well, just send him a message. He'll send them up here. He knows me. He knows I got a bad temper and a big army. He and the kings and 32 kings that helped him. So he's got this big giant entourage of all these minor territorial kings that hang out with him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. Or whether they be come out for war, take them alive. I don't want you, I want you to capture them all alive, regardless. Come on, the white flag, capture them. They come with swords, capture them.
I got ideas.
Yes, we're going to have some fun with these guys. So these young men came out of the princes of the provinces, came out of the city and the army which followed them, and they slew every one of his men. And the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. The king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself and mark. See why thou dost, for at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. All right, go and strengthen your armies, because this guy's going to come back. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. Yes, they always go up these high places to talk to God. He's a god of the high places, and we were on elevated ground when we went to battle, and yeah, their god has power up higher up, but our god's the one from down here in the low area, you know, the low life gods, you know. If we go to battle against them down on the plain, our gods will have their power down here. He's got some real mind. Powerful minds behind his advisors are very are professors of intelligence. Oh, let's put it like this.
Yes,
these are some intelligent guys.
IQ 1000.
Yes, yes. And do this thing: take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. Yeah, and those kings, you know, his kings are scared to death to get killed. Just put some normal captains in head of the army. Yeah. And number thee an army like the army thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. We will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. He's got some really, really bizarre counsel here. Replace the army, get rid of the kings, put some captains in there. And we got to fight on low ground because our God has power down here where it's low.
You imagine the captain's going, why am I sleeping in the king's chambers
tonight? Yeah. They got the king's tent. It came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present. Went against them, and the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. Very small army. But the Syrians filled the countryside against a very large army. There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days, and so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Samaritans 100,000 footmen in one day. And this is done by 7,000 and some odd soldiers. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there is a well fell upon, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. Oh. Yeah, I mean the bizarre power of God. remnant of the army is fleeing away, and they
oh, lean up on the wall.
Yes.
Oh,
that's the shade. Let's rest in the shade of that wall right there. And the wall falls on them.
Yes, sir.
And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. And his servant said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins, and ropes on our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads. And came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Yeah, we used to like each other. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother, Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go ye, bring him. Yeah, bring him over here.
Yeah.
Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father, remember the cities my dad stole from your dad?
Yeah.
He just lost the battle. He don't have an army anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'll restore them, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. This prophet comes up to this stranger standing on the road and says, Smite me on the face. No, I'm not going to hit you.
Why would I hit you?
Yeah, why do you want me to hit you? Then said he unto him, Behold, thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. What is the message there? Do what God says.
A random stranger walks up and says, Hey, punch me in the face.
Yes.
Do it.
And you know that's a prophet of God, a holy man. And as soon as the prophet says, Okay, you know, this is coming from God, I'd have whacked him, man.
It had to. Like, you know? As uncomfortable as
I mean, I would have been like the other guy. Oh, why would I hit you? And this is from God. Whack!
Yeah, yeah.
Then he found another man and said, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. Well, this guy, seeing what happened to the last guy, he not only slapped him, he double-fisted him right in the face.
True, way back.
So the prophet departed.
Yeah.
I've had enough. And waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out unto the midst of the battle. Behold, a man had turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man, if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as the servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him, that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utterly destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. The king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. So because king of Israel let the king of Samaria go, made a covenant with him, and we see this time and time again. We've seen this in the first battle, the second battle, when Saul went out. You know, and God said, wipe all the animals, all the people, all the army, everybody, and the king dead. So he keeps the king alive and keeps the best of the animals. And Samuel has to come up and kill the king. And that's what rent the kingdom out of Saul's hand. And it's basically rent the kingdom out of the king of Israel's hand here. Disobeying. There's only one sin in this Bible. It's called disobedience. You can call it murder, theft, adultery, whatever you want to call it. It's disobedience to God. There are lots of things God has said to do. All he asks is you to do them. And none of them are beyond your abilities. None of them are evil. None of them are in any way considered something of a dark nature. They are all good. And if you do them, they're good for you. They're good for your family. They're good for the nation that you live in. Obedience to God leads to prosperity and a good life. Ah, man, I've worn myself out today. We're chapter 21 in 1 Kings, and we'll be catching that one next time. You're on WVFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.